Senate come to order.
Members may indicate their presence by voting.
There are 20 members present.
Heard by the chaplain, Pastor Robert McMahon.
Our Father in heaven, as we pray for your blessings upon the members of the Senate, we are not unmindful of those in the gallery who join us in this prayer. We give you thanks for the youth of our state and leaders of tomorrow, the young people who shall someday take our places. We thank you for their faith in our land, and we pray that nothing done or said in this place shall cause them to think any less of the institutions we cherish. Challenge them, we pray, in the vision of good citizenship and love for all that is good in our country. Amen.
Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 57th legislative day.
Senator Curtillo.
President, there are no additions or corrections. I move and ask unanimous consent. The journal be approved as read.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal. Without objection, journal certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a longtime friend of mine, the man that served the state of Alaska with great distinction, and also the father of the former president of the Senate, Mr. Con Miller from Fairbanks.
Senator Malin.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce three young ladies from Petersburg who are here representing the Alaska Association of School Government, Cynthia Lee, Navette Bowen, and Ann Ward.
Further introduction, Senator Willis.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce a student from the Chugiak, Eagle River area, Tammy Matlock.
Further introduction, President, Senator Curtillo.
We introduced some of the young people yesterday, and I know there are a number of them have been introduced. I wondered, since we don't have their names, if they can just all stand and we could please say that we welcome them all to Juneau.
Further introduction. Messages from the governor.
Message of March 5th. Dear Mr. President, the purpose of this letter is to inform you that the option agreement between the state of Alaska and Alaska Methodist University has been amended by co-signers Robert K. Dellenbach, president, Alaska Methodist University, and J.S. Hammond, governor, state of Alaska. The amendment extends the option deadline from March 15, 1976 to March 29, 1976. Enclosed for your information is a copy of that amendment. There are no other letters from the governor.
Messages from the House.
Message of March 5. The House has concurred in a Senate amendment to committee substitute for House Bill number 143, Regulation of Post-Secondary Educational Institutions, thus adopting committee substitute for House Bill number 143, amended by the Senate. Message of March 8, the House has concurred in a Senate amendment to House Bill number 524, thus adopting House Bill number 524, amended by the Senate, Practice of Podiatry. That has been signed and returned. The following messages, or the following bills, have been passed and are transmitted herewith. Committee substitute for House Bill number 572 by the Commerce Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Disclosure of Geographical Distribution of Loans and Providing for an Effective Date.
Commerce.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 584, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee. An Act Relating to Substitution of Prescription Drugs by Pharmacists.
Health, Education, and Social Services. Senator Ziegler.
Okay.
issue. I think we've already heard some hearings on it. I'd like to have the secretary as well.
Senator Spanish, after consulting with the chairman of the Hess Committee, without objection, the Hess referral will be voided and the bill will be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
Committee Substitute House Bill Number 784 by the Judiciary Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Cook Inlet Land Exchange and Providing for an Effective Date.
Resources.
Mr.
Senator Poland. Your objection? Without objection, the bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. Further messages from the House?
There are no other messages from the House.
Communications?
There are no communications.
Reports of Standing Committee?
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution 88 relating to the Public School Foundation Program. Committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Coletta and Bradley. There's no further referral.
Rules.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill 558, Special Appropriation to the U of A Anchorage for Trans-Alaska Pipeline Library. The committee recommends it do pass. This report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Coletta and Bradley. There's a further referral to Finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill 690, creating the Regional Resource Center Areas and Boards, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Coletta and Bradley. There's a further referral to Finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Committee Sub for House Bill 121 relating to retirement credit for military service. And the committee, the majority of the committee reports it back with no recommendation. The report is signed by Senator Ferguson, Chairman, and concurred in by Senator Coletta. Senator Bradley signed do pass with a further referral to Finance. The Finance Committee considered House Bill 274, Special Appropriation to the Office of the Governor. The committee recommends it, the majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. This report is signed by Senator Reid, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Sackett, Rader, and Ferguson. Senators Butrovich and Poland signed no recommendation. There is no further referral.
Rules.
Those are all the committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
Reports.
Senator Stanby. Senator Kern, to order. Introduction of resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 89 by all members of the Senate congratulating the Diamond High School Lynx.
Senator Coletta. Senator Coletta moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Concurrent Resolution 89 be made a special order of business at this time. Without objection, we have before us Senate Concurrent Resolution 89. Secretary, I'll read the resolution in full.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 89 by all members of the Senate congratulating the Diamond High School Lynx. Be it resolved by the Legislature of the State of Alaska, whereas the Diamond High School Lynx of Anchorage have played the Ketchikan K-High Kings for the 1976 Alaska High School Championship, and whereas the Lynx defeated a strong Ketchikan team by a margin of 28 points in the hard-fought contest, and whereas throughout the state tournament, the Anchorage term clearly demonstrated its ability as a great basketball team, be it resolved by the Alaska State Legislature that it extends to the Diamond High School Lynx its commendation for winning the state championship, expresses its heartiest congratulations to all teams in the state tournament for the climactic state competition, and salutes the Diamond High School Lynx and their coach on their victory. Copies will be sent to all of the Diamond members.
Discussion. You're ready to vote. The question is, shall Senate Concurrent Resolution 89 pass the Senate? As many as favor say aye.
Aye.
Any as opposed, no. The ayes have it. Concurrent Resolution 89 has passed the Senate. Are there further resolutions for introduction?
There are no further resolutions.
Introduction of Senate Bill. Senator Standard E. Senate come to order. Senator Wright.
Mr. President, I apologize. I didn't hear any of you throw on Senate Concurrent Resolution 88, and I do believe it passed. Rules refer to be waived and first be sent to the Finance.
Senator Wright moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Concurrent Resolution 88 be referred to the Finance Committee. Their objection. Study of the Public School Foundation program. Your objection? Without objection, Concurrent Resolution 88 will be referred to the Finance Committee. Further introduction of resolutions?
No, I know resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 695 by the Rules Committee by request. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for a feasibility study of energy-assisted agricultural development and providing for an effective date.
Commerce, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 696 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee entitled An Act Making a Special Appropriation to the Office of the Governor, Office of Telecommunications, and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
There are no other. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 62
by Senator
annulling certain administrative regulations adopted by the Department of Public Safety establishing a periodic motor vehicle inspection program. The State Affairs Committee had this resolution under consideration and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and that the committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Huber, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Meehan, Ferguson, and Coletta. I have
two amendments on my desk.
Amendment number one.
Senator Huber moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the State Affairs Committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Resolution Number 62 by the State Affairs Committee. Delaying and the implementation of a periodic motor vehicle inspection program in the state by annulling certain administrative regulations adopted by the Department of Public Safety and requesting stricter enforcement and adjudication of vehicle equipment regulations.
Yes, there were two amendments.
This is a resolution.
You had a bill.
Oh, okay. Amendment number one by Senator Ziegler, page one, line 9-11. Amend title by placing
period of reference
safety and delete balance of title. Page two, lines 20-22, delete.
Sponsors of the resolution, which is a good one, incidentally, wanted their
I don't think it does great damage to it all, or I might suggest that these are administratively induced amendments. We're in place.
Further discussion? Senator Hubert?
Is the exact language drafted by the Department of Public Safety and the governor's office and asked to be included in the bill. I understand that the reason for it has to do with some actions that were taken. And the same thing in suspending their motor vehicle inspection laws. As I understand, a ruling or attempt to ruling by the feds that Idaho did not lose its motor vehicle city money or its highway funds by so doing. And there's a hope that that same thing will very close to that and actually keep an inspection program, but not the kind we presently have.
Senator Ziegler?
Well, I'm not going to get involved in a dispute between the executive branch and the court system. However, I still think that there's no other indication to be attached to the other than the wrong of what is the corruption or the administration at the court system. And rather than withdraw the motion, at least I'm standing up what I believe to be a matter of principle, and I'm just going to see it be shut down by a vote. I think this is wrong. I don't care who that is.
Question.
Ready to vote.
There are sufficient hands. There will be a roll call vote. The question is, shall amend Senator Gratula?
Right vote on this bill in support of the resolution that's been drafted by the State Affairs Committee.
No worry.
Intention to slam the court system.
It's a bill.
Vote given for the very express purpose that
Senator Hubert suggested we could
$15 million. So that's the reason we're so careful in wording it and coming up with the Idaho type approach to the original piece of legislation. I don't care about the slamming court system by voting on this, but I do intend to vote for it.
Further, Senator Miller?
Mr. President, I don't think the resolution is that much of an over, right? I don't understand how a resolution is being directed to anybody, which somehow is more strictly adjudicated violations of Tribal 28 is going to save anybody any federal money. I don't think the feds are that much of a fool.
Against the resolution,
I just suspect that we're not doing all that much here in this resolution today.
Further discussion? You're ready to vote. The question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote.
Has every senator voted?
Secretary locked the roll. Thanks, very rare. It's ready to just vote.
Secretary will take the roll.
There are 11 yeas, 9 nays.
So amendment number one has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
Amendment number...
There is a further amendment. Senator Singer?
Mr. President, will we rescind our action
Senator Singer
moves that the Senate rescind its action
number one.
Mr. President, that's a double action.
That would place the amendment back. If the motion succeeds, that would place the question back before us whether we should adopt the amendment. If it fails, then the amendment remains.
We shall rescind the action.
Is there discretion? Ready to vote. The question is, shall the Senate rescind its action in adopting Amendment Number 1? Senators may proceed to vote.
Have there been some revote?
Secretary, I'll lock the roll. Senator Willer?
I've got a list.
Any other senators are to change this bill? Secretary Redford.
There are 8 yeas and 12 nays.
So the Senate's failed to rescind its action in adopting Amendment Number 1. Either Senator, come to order. Are there further amendments?
Amendment number 2, verse 180, page 1, line 18.
I believe this
amendment is on the desk of all the senators.
Does every senator have a copy of Amendment number 2? Without objection, the reading will
be read.
Senator Wright? Senator Ray moves the adoption of Amendment Number 2.
Mr. President, mine is just simple housekeeping.
Unanimous consent for adoption of Amendment Number 2.
Zero.
Objection?
That objection.
Is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Katura?
Mr. President, the Administrative Review Committee and Senator Huber, who is a member of the past 28 study committee, come to the same conclusions in regard to statewide inspection. That's the reason we introduced very simple. They withdrew the entire district from inspection. But those vehicles do drive. There is inspection. The whole thing was an unworkable mess. Not inconsistent.
Might have worked in a small fishing boat
community where fishing boats in one fleet don't go in.
Not because of the law.
But it sure wouldn't work motor vehicles. Because of the what's in the
matter.
I was working on introduction. We defer to Senator Huber. Artfully
suggest
the legislation is now written.
Ready to vote? The question is, so Senate concurrent resolution number 62 passed the Senate. Many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
Many as opposed, no. The ayes have it. Concurrent resolution number 62 has passed the Senate. Have before us in second reading, Senate Bill 682.
Senate Bill number 682 by the Commerce Committee by request, an act relating to winery licenses. The Commerce Committee had this bill under consideration and recommends it pass with an amendment. The report was signed by Senator Capullo, Chairman, and concurred in by Senator Colella. Senators Willis, Bradley, and Ziegler signed a recommendation. I have one amendment, two amendments on my desk. Amendment number one, page one, line 15.
To page one, line 15.
Add after him.
On the premises where sold.
Senator Couture.
Mr. President, I would move adoption of the amendment. It's an amendment suggested by Senator Ray on the subject. I remember it.
Senator Cotullo moves to the adoption of Amendment Number 1.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, the amendment formulation of the amendment was simply they weren't trying to build it. Support the bill. Support the amendment, not the bill.
Senator Miller.
To reread the amendment.
Page 1, line 15.
After the word him,
insert the following words,
on the premises where sold.
Everybody understand the amendment? Senator?
It would read, the holder of a winery license also may sell wine produced by him on the premises where sold to consumers for consumption on or off the premises where sold.
I thought it was very clumsy myself.
Further discussion? Further discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall amendment number one be adopted? As many as favor, say aye. Many as opposed,
no. No. No.
Those have it. Amendment number one has been defeated. Secretary, read amendment number two.
Amendment number two by Senator
Ray, page one, line 17.
Senator, come to order.
Page one, line 17. Delete entire sentence beginning, a winery license.
Senator Ray. Senator Ray moves for the adoption of amendment number two. You have the floor, Senator Ray.
Winery license, authorize a person to conduct winery tasting any place you want. Clothing stores, somebody's private home, et cetera. In other words, off of licensed premises. And I don't believe that this is the concept that the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board has to its rules and regulations, to its statutory provisions.
Senator Chance.
May I ask the distinguished senator from the ABC regulation who is authorized to have wine tasting parties?
Senator Ray.
People with that I know of now, especially during the license event, that they bring it up by people who are going to sell the wine or I would drink, they would have to give it a beer and wine license
or a restaurant license or
a beverage dispensary license, a special events permit, which you apply for, and those people who are issued the license are responsible for the permit. Be sure and disallow the two categories, the intoxicated people and those minors who are by law banned from drinking wine and being on premise where the wine is sold.
Senator Turek?
People that have the winery and the maintenance jobs will be able to apply for events license on the AEC board. We have the wine tasting parties.
Senator Turek?
Yeah, Mr. President, they would be able to, under the normal procedures of getting somebody who is licensed, either with a beverage dispensary license or a restaurant license, to allow them through a special permit, but not directly. What this objection about the whole bill, we're going to enter, get into here, is that you're going against the idea of allowing people from the wholesale end also to get into the retail end. And that's exactly what this does. And it seems very nice to help this poor little man of the Madison Valley to take care of his particular problem. Then why don't we just have a lottery the same way? Now, you know, what we're doing here is we're opening the door, and if you want to allow for the concept of manufacturing be the outlet of it. Or everybody got into quite an argument about oil company distributors, etc. Which strange things we're trying to initiate here. I think the whole concept, while really fine in nature, to help this old man out, is doing a violence to the liquor laws of Alaska that is unacceptable, at least to me and anybody that ever
you're in
knowledge of the laws, the regulations of the state.
Senator Katula? Well, I have no objection. We've got a separate problem. We have brought up the whole bill, Mr. President. Is it possible to speak briefly on
that? We'll allow wider latitude.
Well, Mr. President, it's true that was brought up for the Catholic priest who is now attempting to establish a very modest wine business in the Matanuska Valley. The reason for the legislation, and I might say the principle allowed is for the three major distributors in this state, and the first was not, and that this method or this law did no disservice to the liquor industry in their opinion.
They represent wholesalers,
but this was their position on it. They didn't oppose the legislation. Now, to get back to it briefly, we ended up in court because of the fact that the present wine license doesn't allow the gentleman to sell wine on his premises because he's a wholesaler. Public Defender Agency and the District Attorney finally one of the prisoners, Michael Neal, who is a retail distributor of quite considerable note in the greater Anchorage area, recommended this approach. Now, just briefly from the letter, the district attorney and I finally swore in a jury in Palmer in January 76, Palmer court session. We're on the verge of trying the case, somewhat red-faced, the following agreement after jury was sworn. DC representatives who were the complaining witnesses and so on, and himself and the DA and so on suggested that we go to legislation and try to resolve the problem, because it did do something that's being done all over the nation, in his opinion, California, for instance, where there's a great deal of wine being grown.
They don't see it as a problem for the retail industry or an attempt for the wholesalers to take over the retail industry. However, I am just repeating what's being told to me by people that know something about the business. I don't have the background knowledge of Senator Ray. I'm just trying to solve a local problem, not to create another one. The people in the business that I talk to say it creates no other problem.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I appreciate the remarks of the majority leader, and I go along with them to a certain that point before the Coyote and the Weaver and the Fox are all agreed about we should take care of the chicken house as long as all three of them are in there. That's what you have here. That's what you have with this explanation. With the defeat of the amendment, Mr. President, that's what you have. With the amendment, there would be an entirely different situation. But amendment number one that you defeated requires the winery to these premises, which would be a last in some place. I don't think it's a very good grape growing in the country. And about the only thing that you can make wine out of here would probably be dandelions or weeds of some kind. And if you want to do that, you'd have a hippie commune making your own wine and selling it under three brothers and four sisters or whatever would be the proper brand name of that particular crime. You got this old priest up there making out of moose milk, I guess. Milk of some kind. I don't know what it is, but they said in reference it's some kind of a milk that's been but clearly I must bring it again to attention. Even the motion of the First Amendment, you have left the door open for any winery, Gallo Brothers, Italian Swiss, anybody else to come up to Alaska and set up right next door to a legitimate businessman in the retail business, sit right up there next door to him and have the, operate an outlet and sell premises to any consumer.
What specific question is, shall amendment number two be allowed? Is there further discussion? Be ready to vote. The question is, shall amendment number two be adopted? As many as favor say aye. And is opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. Amendment number two is adopted. Without objection, that number is gone. Send a stand at ease. Senator, come to order. Senator Ray.
Nothing before us at this particular time. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we rescind our action failing to adopt the amendment.
Senator Ray moves and asks unanimous consent that the Senate rescind adopt amendment number one. Is there objection? It's action. We have before us amendment number one. Is there further, Senator Ray?
Mr. President, again, I hate to take up the time on this, but it's that important that without this amendment, you are doing absolute damage, serious damage to the liquor laws of the state of Alaska. You're allowing wine that's made from Carol Ford to be bought up by a wholesale winery himself and sell it both wholesale and retail, which is surely just opposite of the concept of liquor control in the state of Alaska.
Senator Miller?
Mr. President, Secretary, we read it in the context of the
amendment. Amendment number one will be read in context.
The holder of a winery license also may sell wine produced by him on or off the premises to consumers for consumption on or off the premises. That is not on anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. Page 1, line 15. The holder of a winery license also may sell wine produced by him on the premises where sold to consumers for consumption on or off the premises where sold.
And may sell food for consumption on or off the premises
where sold.
Senator Tilla?
Present. This is stringent and probably not new article in sentence structure here, but this was raised on amendment was supported by the Commerce Committee, and I suggest, even though it is not an article sentence in advance of the inclusion of this word structure, it definitely is understandable. This goes to the point of not being able to sell out, get into the truck and sell off the premises that product without being properly licensed, etc. And I would accept and
Senator Ziegler moves that Senate Bill 682 be referred to the Commerce Committee.
I have a discussion.
Senator Ray objects.
Just for this purpose, I'd like to, before we move it back to the Commerce Committee, I would like to, one more amendment.
Motion.
Refer to Commerce has been withdrawn. The question before us is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Is there further discussion?
Question.
Senator Miller?
I understand that Senator Ray has another amendment which may clear up the call.
Is that Amendment Number 3?
Do you have the amendment on the
desk? It's on the floor.
Could you read the amendment prior to voting on this?
Amendment number 3 by Senator Ray, page 1, line 16. After sold, add period and delete rest of sentence.
Now perhaps the clerk, Mr. President, could be in call. How it sounds.
You're requesting that she read amendment number 1 and
number 3 in context?
Yes, sir.
The holder of a winery license also may sell wine produced by him on the premises where sold to consumers for consumption on or off the premises where sold, period.
Your further Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I know that the progress of I found that when dealing with the liquor laws in the state of Alaska, certainly with the Wiley, millions of the legal professional attorneys from the grad schools, you have to be very careful.
The question,
Senator,
Mr. Investor, who was originally, anyway,
Senator Miller?
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 682 and all amendments be held one legislative day on tomorrow's calendar.
Moves that Senate Bill 682 be held written reading until tomorrow's calendar. Senator Ray? Senator Ray asking a objection. Without objection. 682 will appear in second reading on tomorrow's calendar. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 685.
Senate Bill Number
235, the Rules Committee that opposed the joint
Gals Pipeline Impact Committee.
And that
making a special appropriation
to the Department of Natural
Resources for the purpose of conducting negotiations with prospective purchasers of North Slope
Natural
Gas and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee had this bill under consideration, and the majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Pollan, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Buttrovich, Rader, Rohde, Orsini, and Meeland. Senator Cross signed no recommendation. The Finance Committee had this bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Senators Buttrovich, Rader, Ferguson, Chance, and Pollan signed the majority report. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senator Sackett signed no recommendation. I have no amendments.
Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, absence of any amendments, I move Nash unanimous consent. Senate Bill 685 of the Senator Gross passed third reading, placed final passage.
Senator Cotillo moves Nash unanimous consent that Senate Bill 685 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 685.
Senate Bill Number 685, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the purpose of conducting negotiations with prospective purchasers of North Slope Natural Gas and providing for an effective date.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, very briefly, the interest in finance that we have is whether the Royalty Oil and Gas Board did not have the expertise or the contractual funds to do this. And we called the Commissioner of Natural Resources before the committee, and he explained that because of the priorities and because of the other functions of the Oil and Gas Royalty Board, being already allocated, their revenues being and contractual monies being already allocated when this problem came up and became a priority matter with the tar petition on it, that they needed the extra funding immediately, or it would work to the detriment of the state. And I would yield to my colleague from Andrews, Rader, to answer the word.
Mr. President, we don't know whether or not we're going to sell any royalty gas, but we have to at least engage in the negotiations to find out what kind of a deal can be struck. This gets to be important, as I mentioned yesterday, because any sale has to ultimately be approved by the legislature, if there is one, and we'd hope that we could have a sale, if possible, prior to adjourning this session. Otherwise, if it's still an issue, and you can't tell whether it will be or won't be, but if it is still an issue, we'll end up in a special session. So I think that the sum is a reasonable sum to begin to go down this particular track. It's a little bit difficult because the Royalty Board, although they had some uncommitted money, didn't want to spend any funds for this purposes. And that's the reason that this appropriation is made directly to the Commissioner of Natural Resources, so that he can conduct these negotiations independently of the Royalty Board.
Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, a question to Senator Rader. He's going to conduct negotiations. Who's going to conduct them? Is he going to contract
someone
to conduct them, some organization, or is he going to do it himself, or what's the money going to be used for?
Senator Rader.
Mr. President, he would be the chief negotiator, although I'm certain that he will want to hire some probably some legal experts, and when they start drafting documents in the oil and gas industry, and he probably will want to reach into the oil and gas industry and hire some consultants as to prices, delivery, economic considerations. There's one other aspect of this, and that is that any sale which we do negotiate will probably be presented to the Federal Power Commission, and we may end up with hiring some additional expertise to make that presentation to the Federal Power Commission. It's a little bit nebulous as to what he is going to do, and I don't speak for him, nor do I know his mind, but I think that his request is generally reasonable, and because of the importance of the matter to the state, a very modest amount to spend on expert help.
Question. Further discussion? Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, question to Senator Rader. You know, if I gathered what he's saying correctly, statutorily, the legislature, in their wisdom, created a body to address itself to this very problem. And now we're bypassing them. We're going to put the negotiations for the state royalty gas in the hands of one individual. And I don't think that's necessarily the best way to go. Why can't Royalty Oil and Gas do that? Why can't we appropriate the money to do that? The Commissioner of Natural Resources does serve on that board.
Senator Rader?
Chairman, as I understand it, a motion was made in the Royalty Oil and Gas Royalty Board to take $15,000 for this purpose, to spend $15,000 for this purpose, and it died in the back of a second in front of that board. I would imagine that requesting the board to act on this is be tantamount to saying no action will be taken. I think requesting the Commissioner of Natural Resources to act on it, there may be some action taken. Now, the Royalty Board still has to approve it before it can come to the legislature, as a matter of fact. Our requirements are that the Royalty Board approves and then the legislature approves any sale of royalty oil and gas. This is $50,000 as preliminary funds to carry on the negotiations so that an agreement can be presented to the board and to the legislature.
Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I'm not following that at all. The implication I received from the answer is that the Royalty Board doesn't wish to involve themselves with this, and it's my recollection that the statute charges them. That's their sole function, to find methods and outlets for the state's gas and oil. If, in fact, what Senator Rader is saying is true, have a piece of legislation here to disband that board. But that just doesn't really make sense if they don't want to look into it. We're usurping what was created by statute and giving it to run a department within the state. If in fact we're going to do that, I would suggest that maybe a special legislative committee be appointed to negotiate the sale or the prospective sale of gas and oil.
Senator Chance?
It appears to me, Mr. President, that the Royalty Oil and Gas Board, when they were requested to appropriate or to allocate money out of their appropriation to look into this situation, without any expert advice, decided that it was not something that needed to be attended to at this time. Last year, this legislative body created a special committee on gas pipeline impact. Through the efforts of that committee, it has been determined, at least by a number of people in this legislature, that it perhaps would be advisable for us to sell some royalty gas prior to the time it starts moving through the line, or we will have lost our right to do it later on down the line. Consequently, since the negotiations are basically up to the Commissioner of Natural Resources, this bill would appropriate money to him to retain the type of expertise he needs to continue looking into the subject as it has been opened up by our legislative committee. Once they do make a determination, it also has to be submitted to that Royalty Oil and Gas Board for their approval before it's submitted to the legislature. But the Royalty Oil and Gas Board made an early decision that it did not warrant spending any money on to look into. The Legislative Pipeline Committee has determined that it does warrant looking into prior to the time that gas line goes on stream. And I think we should insist that the administration look into the situation to protect the rights of the state for our future royalty gas, the use of our royalty gas, and then come back and make the recommendation to the Royalty Oil and Gas Board as well as to the legislature.
Further, Senator Ray?
Mr. President, just briefly, I too share the concerns of the minority leader as to the functions of the Alaska Royalty Oil and Gas Board, whatever you call them. So I must remind you at this particular time that we must deal with the priorities. I believe the Commissioner of Natural Resources is the chairman of that committee, and as such cannot get them to act, and so has come to the legislature through the testimony given to the pipeline impact subcommittee and has asked for assistance from the legislature.
determination by the chairman or by that legislative investigating body or committee that this is necessary, that we must appropriate $50,000 or we will lose. The state will lose. And we jeopardize our future position. That's why I think that I've convinced myself after standing up here and talking
that that's the rule. I think maybe his remarks have put it in a little better perspective. What he says is true, and that's exactly where the fear lies. The greatest assemblage of knowledgeable people relating to these matters, supposedly, is the Royalty Oil and Gas Board. And if in fact that is so, then why are they not being directed to do it? They're charged statutorily with that specific duty to find a sale for the economic growth of this state for its royalty oil and gas. And now we're taking and doing an end run around it. The Commissioner of Natural Resources is the chairman on there, and he's ably assisted by a man who knows money matters, the Commissioner of Revenue. And then three people by statutory design who have expertise in this area. And we're not going to use them. We're going to allow one individual to take and negotiate. I know he has to submit, but that's an extra step when we did create somebody to do this specific job.
Senator Miller, then Senator Rader.
Oil and Gas Board located in the Department of Natural Resources? I believe it is. The appropriation bill is directed to the department, not to the commissioner, not to the Royalty Board, not to any particular division. I suspect that that money could be disposed of internally within the Department of Natural Resources as deemed proper, belongs for the statutory purpose listed here. We're not necessarily bypassing the board here today by the wording of this appropriation bill.
I indicated Senator Rader.
President, we're not necessarily bypassing the Oil and Gas Board, but in fact, we are. And the reason we are is that the Oil and Gas Board does not choose to act on this thing. There's a difference of opinion. There isn't any unanimity of opinion as to whether or not we should sell gas. And I'm not standing before you today saying that I know that we should. I'm standing before you today saying that there is a good possibility that the sale of gas, if we can work out the proper terms, can be used advantageously to get a Trans-Alaska pipeline. There is that possibility. The purpose of this appropriation is to explore that possibility. It's not to stand here and say that we are going to sell it or that we aren't going to sell it, but we cannot make that decision unless we explore the opportunities. The time element is critical if we're going to approve it this session. In fact, it may be too late now. It may be that the federal government will conduct what they call an allocation proceedings, in which they will disregard any sale which we have or any sale which Exxon makes or any sale that anybody makes. They'll just take this gas and they're going to sit down and decide how much of it's going to go to the Northwest and how much is going to go to the Midwest and how much is going to go to the East Coast. And under those circumstances, everything that we're doing here would be for naught. But there has been no determination that they're going to have an allocation. In past Federal Power Commission proceedings, the commitment of a gas to a particular market has been considered important in determining the pipeline routing. Two of the commissioners, there are four commissioners now, there's five that are full body, but there's one vacancy. Two of the four commissioners have indicated that they think it's important as to which route the gas is sold on. Again, I don't say that there are some people on the royalty board who just think that Alaska should do nothing about this and we should wait. There are others of us who, in the conduct of the proceedings of the Joint Impact Committee, who disagree with that and think that the state should vigorously explore this opportunity. I don't say we take it, but we've got to explore it. And if we don't explore it and time runs out on us, then I think it may be a disaster, because we could get our gas committed to interstate commerce and never be able to shut it off. For even to heat our own homes. We would not be able to use our own water gas to heat our own homes in the future. If this thing gets committed into interstate commerce and you get consumers downstream that are using Alaska Royalty gas gets gone. and it's to try to save some long-term options for the state that we're trying to negotiate part of it and try to get a pre-abandonment authorization, which again is, it's technical, but we'd like to present to the Federal Power Commission the sale that we make, plus also our right to take it back as soon as we have a use for it in the state of Alaska. It's called a pre-abandonment certification. All of that should be done in the certification of the Trans-Alaska route as against the Trans-Canadian route and it's urgent.
Senator Wright.
Mr. President, just again, very briefly, in the final analysis, we get the bottom line is that the Royalty Oil and Gas Board cannot do this because they've encumbered their allocation. And I think that's what it comes down to, is if you want it done, you have to provide the money, and that money must be provided within the Department of Natural Resources. Even if they wanted to, the Oil and Gas Royalty Board have already encumbered their contractual obligation or their allocation, and they can't do it because they don't have the money. If you want it done, appropriate the money now.
Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, that may be well and good, but a question to, again, once more to Senator Rader. The Oil and Royalty Gas Board, a majority are not in favor of the approach that you just got through outlining and suggesting. Is that a correct interpretation of a portion of your statement?
Senator Rader.
Mr. President, I have not attended any of the Oil and Gas Board meetings, and what I'm representing to you today is information that, you know, usually reliable sources. I don't really know what the majority does think about this. I only was informed, though, that Commissioner Sterling Gallagher made a motion to spend $15,000 of their unencumbered funds that they had at that time, anyway, for this purpose, to initiate these proceedings, and they died for lack of a second in the Royalty Board meeting. Now, I can't really interpret beyond that. That may mean that only Commissioner Gallagher was interested in this, or it may mean that they're all interested in it but thought the funds ought to come from someplace else. There might be a number of explanations for that.
Mr. President, one last question for myself. Where did the Commissioner of Natural Resources, if he sits on the board, chairs the board, where did he sit during the motion? Are you assured that he is going to approach it from, let's do something, let's develop this for Alaska, and let's not have a Louisiana problem, et cetera? Are you certain that he will forcefully get with it if we do appropriate this? Are we appropriating the wrong body, the wrong person? He sat on that board.
Senator Ryder.
I really don't like to be put in a position of defending anybody for what they have or haven't done in this situation. No, I'm not certain what he'll do. I don't know what he'll do. I'm hopeful that he'll act vigorously and aggressively, but I don't know that, and nor am I prepared to say in advance of his opportunity to act that he will not act. I'm not prepared to say that. I would assume that if he thinks that the sense of the legislature is we should do something along this line, that he will pursue that. If necessary, perhaps we could have a resolution of the legislature directing him to do it. The Oil and Gas Committee did make a report, which is in your journal, in which it was our determination that under the present circumstances, this policy should be aggressively pursued. I really think that giving him the $50,000 is a legislative statement to him to proceed rapidly with this project.
Mr. President.
Senator Curtillo.
I think you're correct. Legislative intent ought to be addressed to either in the journal or preferably by a resolution. My experience of giving them directive and some funding here last year resulted in nothing so far. Completely separate item, but it was a program for the Department of Natural Resources. If he doesn't choose to do it, he won't do it anyway, unless you give him a strong directive.
Senator Chance, and Senator Ray, and Senator Coletta.
Certainly not in defense of anybody, but in response to a question of the Majority Leader about the Commissioner of Natural Resources being there and the motion dying for lack of a second, the Commissioner of Natural Resources is the chairman of the committee, and it's my understanding, perhaps I'm wrong, but the presiding officer is in no position to make a second or make a motion.
The Commissioner of Natural Resources appeared in front of the Finance Committee yesterday and very vigorously asked us to please appropriate this money, that they need this money to conduct the negotiations. And perhaps
perhaps that will help somebody here. They ask us. We didn't go to them. They appeared in front of the Finance Committee, hat in hand and on me, and asking for the money. So they, maybe they'll just take the money and spend it any way they want, but maybe the sun won't come up.
Senator Coletta?
We have a brief.
Senator Stanidese. Senate will come to order. Senator Curtillo.
I move and ask consent for 5 minutes.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent. The Senate stand in recess for 5 minutes without objection. Senate's in recess. Senate will come to order. Have before us in third reading Senate Bill 685. Is there further discussion?
Question.
You ready to? Senator Miller? We're in third reading.
Move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading.
Senator Miller moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 685 be returned to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment. Is there objection? Without objection, we have before us in second reading Senate Bill 685.
To be reported to the legislature in writing within 2 weeks from effective date of this act and thereafter on a monthly basis.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment.
Senator Coletta moves and asks unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one. Senator Ray objects. You have the floor, Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, what the amendment does is make certain that negotiations are entered into immediately and that a report is made on a timely basis to the legislature to review what's being done since the matter is so critical. We heard testimony from the chairman of the Special Pipeline Gas Impact Committee that hopefully this should be done before we get out of here. And I would suggest that the only way we have a reasonable opportunity of knowing what's happening is to have the Department of Natural Resources report to us on a timely manner.
Senator Curtillo.
I support the amendment because near as I can gain from the previous statement by opponents of the legislation, you have a entirely no-growth position taken by the committee that's appointed by the governor. Presumably they're the will of the governor. And now you have a commissioner that perhaps will do something if requested by the legislature, but he's also appointed by the governor, so I'm not sure we're doing anything here. Perhaps the Clatt Amendment will be of some value.
Further discussion, Senator Ryder?
I think the Clatt Amendment's very good.
Further discussion, Senator Poland?
Mr. President, I think the Clatt Amendment is essential.
Further discussion, Senator Ray?
I think I'll withdraw.
Senator Ray?
The only reason I didn't object is that I wanted the input from the minority leader. He's been very quiet this morning. I wanted to allow him to ask his consent.
Senator Ray withdraws his objection. Is there further objection? Without objection, amendment number one is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no further amendments.
Senator Curtillo.
President, absent further amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent on Senate Bill 685 considered gross, advanced third reading, place and final passage.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that Senate Bill 685 be advanced from second to third reading and placed before you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 685.
Senate Bill number 685, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the purpose of conducting negotiations with prospective purchasers of North Slope Natural Gas and providing for an effective date.
Question.
Is there discussion? Ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate Bill 685 pass the Senate? Senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 20 yeas.
Senator Curtillo.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent to vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Without objection, then, Senate Bill 685 with an effective date clause has passed the Senate. We have before us in second reading Senate Bill 118. House Bill 118.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 118, amended, re-engrossed by the Judiciary Committee. An act providing for the licensing of transporters. The Resources Committee had this bill under consideration and reports it back as follows. Senator Poland and Senator Butrovich recommend do pass. Senators Orsini and Senator Meehan sign no recommendation. I have one amendment on my desk.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. President, I move Nash unanimous consent to withhold over committee substitute for House Bill 118 for two legislative days. I've talked to the chairman of the Resources Committee and she has no objections.
Senator Ferguson moves and asks unanimous consent that House Bill 118 be held in second reading until March 11th. Is there objection? Without objection, House Bill 118 will appear in second reading on Thursday's calendar. That concludes today's calendar. Brings us down to unfinished business. Special orders. Senator Chance?
I would move Nash unanimous consent to write the excuse for the call of the Senate on Monday, March 15th. I'll be out of town on private business.
Senator Chance moves and asks unanimous consent that she be excused from a call of the Senate on March 15th. Is there objection? Without objection. Senator Chance is excused from a call of the Senate on that day. Further special orders. Announcement of committee meetings. Senator Poland?
Senate Resources Committee will be meeting jointly with the House Resources Committee on confirmations for the Board of Commissioners this afternoon at 1:30 in the House Resources Committee.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, Finance Committee will meet the public hearings on public protection this afternoon at 2:00 and meeting hopefully.
Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet at 3 o'clock this afternoon in room 650 in the court building.
Senator Rader?
Rules Committee meeting on adjournment. I want to direct the attention of the group that we'll be telling them we took in a line swap for tomorrow. And there'll be very little opportunity for a second shot at that. So those of you who have any interest in it, we will check in.
Further announcement of Senator Coletta?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll yield to
Senator Ferguson?
Senate House at 1:30 today.
Senator Coletta?
Yes, Mr. President, a reminder from Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development on the Adam Smith Day Party today at 4:30. They'll have skits and refreshments, and legislators are urged to attend to defend themselves.
Where is it?
Ninth floor of the state office building.
Senator Wright?
We're going to have to milk wine, Mr. President, with alcoholic content.
Senator Cotillo?
President, Senate Spirit First Committee will be meeting at 3 p.m. Mr. President, tomorrow afternoon, 1:30, the day Congress.
Further business?
Yes, if any further announcements, I move Nash unanimous consent to be adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Tula moves and Nash unanimous consent to Senate stand in adjournment till 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Without objection.
Are you going to catch some?